Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Speaking of taking care of business, it has been a while since we have talked with the man who is the president and chief executive officer of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois.
He is the one and only Steve Burness. And Steve, it may be February, but allow us to say Happy New Year. Welcome.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Thank you. Well, looking at the calendar, there is a little thing called a Super Bowl game coming up next Sunday. I'm not at all surprised. I'm sad because I'm sure there are going to be a number of people that are going to be taken advantage of. The Better Business Bureau has become aware of scams surrounding betting on the game. Is that correct?
It is correct, Johnny. So we're the Better Business Bureau scam trackers, picking up scams related to this. We're fake websites saying that you can place a bet, and it looks like a legitimate website, or it looks like the one you know, and it's actually a counterfeit site, and they mimic the legal sports betting operation. So you think you're dealing with somebody you know and trust, and end up being a fraudulent site just trying to get your credit card number and steal your money from you.
Because if you're going to place a bet, you're going to have to give them some information like your credit card number. And I would assume that they even take it so far as you believe that you actually have a legitimate bet going. You're watching the game.
Right.
Only afterwards you find out you've been taken, right?
Right. Yeah. They don't pay. They don't answer their phones, or the site has been taken down. And actually, they're asking for banking information, too. They want the credit card and banking. So they're asking for both. So we're seeing that across the country, not only here, but we just want consumers, you know, there's a lot of counterfeit websites. Just go to the sites that you know and trust directly. Don't follow the links or text message or these too good to be true offers, because they could be a scammer in the weeds waiting to take advantage of you.
Mm-hmm. So, but what if you are someone who for the first time ever decided you want to bet online? So you don't have any sites that you know and trust. You're just looking to find sites. What do you look for if you're a first-time person? What do you look for to differentiate the legitimate sites from the scam sites?
Well, there's a lot of good businesses out there, obviously. You have to look at the website itself and do the research on them and see what, you know, the Better Business Bureau report has on them and what others have on them, not just us, but looking on the internet and seeing what, you know, customer reviews, reading those types of things. Just because they have a business license and are online doesn't make them a good business either. So before you do business with anybody, you should do the necessary due diligence, Steve, and checking them out and reading reviews and doing the research as much as you can in that organization before giving your money up.
Steve, could I go to BBB.org and actually look up these companies to see what you guys have listed?
Yes, we have listings on all sorts of companies. We grade them from A+ to F, and it's all across North America, including Canada. We have information on businesses ahead of time, so you can make it. We're going to help you make that decision yourself. We can't make that decision for you, so we'll tell you, you know, what kind of grade they have, what kind of pattern of complaints or governmental action and things of that nature. So many times consumers do the homework and research after the fact, after they've been scammed or dealt with a bad business, only to be told that you should have done this ahead of time.
And I would imagine that there are some scams, I'm just guessing here, trying to think like the bad guys think, that you, the better, may go all the way to the point where, yippee, we're celebrating because I've won, and it's only then that they start asking you for more money before you can get your winnings back. That sounds like that would be something they'd do.
Yeah, exactly. They would do that. They'd do anything to try to get more money out of you, or tell you something's wrong, or you need insurance, or you didn't pay this, or pay taxes. And the scammers will stop at nothing, so there's no, you know, way, one way that the scammers will take advantage of you. But ever since the pandemic, it's just we have not seen as many scams as we are seeing currently. Every year it's getting worse, and I've been doing it for 36 years. Now it's really just opened up the internet has opened up to all these scammers, especially since, like I said, the pandemic, because everybody has shifted their focus online and does most of their business online, and that's where the scammers are.
Well, since they're online, I don't know if you have this information, but do you have any way of checking, are most of the scam sites originating offshore or from this country, or do you have that kind of information?
they're all over the place. A lot of them are offshore, you know, across the globe somewhere else, and consumers, you think they're dealing with a local company, and it's really hard to determine. There's pop-up sites that start in the morning or gone in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And there's scams here. There's basically scams everywhere, but a lot of times they are offshore. They, you know, because they don't care about the, you know, U.S. laws, they, or, you know, restrictions or regulations. They just go after anybody that they possibly can. So that's why you need to do the research on the website. Make sure they have a page where they have the information about the company, the address for them, a phone number, and things of that nature. You know, what's really what's worse is when, you know, you get these ads that pop up on your screen and you just click on them, not knowing where they're going. I mean, they can be going anywhere. They can put spam or malware on your computer. It's really frightening. And, you know, we've seen a police station about 7 years ago had to pay their ransomware because they clicked on that link and locked up their police files. So if it happened to the police, it can happen to you as a consumer.
And just within the past month, Johnny and I have noticed a serious increase in the number of emails we're getting from companies that look as if they are companies we normally do business with, but there's something, it could be a word misspelled.
Or the address.
We check the address and we said, no, this is not legitimate. But boy, has that increased since the beginning of the year.
In fact, Steve, you probably hear this all the time, getting email from PayPal.
Yeah.
And getting an email that says, well, your $847 transaction was just made today and your product will be sent out this afternoon. And you get that sick feeling like, what? I didn't buy a computer or a camera or whatever cost that much money. And then you look at the address and it's some crazy combination of letters and it just has nothing to do with PayPal. And you know, then you don't click on anything.
Exactly. There was a recent consumer in the Chicago area lost $50,000 was taken out of their account because he thought that he was dealing with PayPal directly, and they asked him to move his funds over to another account and to protect himself. And then they said they got into his other account, so they got on the screen and they pushed $50,000 of his own money into this account. They said, look, we deposited it, now we need it back. So he wired it back to them. And unfortunately, that was his money as well. It'll take time. You most likely will get money back from the bank. You know, this week you will get the oil, but it could take months. And a lot of times people then don't have access to their account because they put a hold on it. Something's wrong with your account. So then you can't even get to your other money because your money is held up.
That's right. Yeah.
But just before we take a break, Steve, would it be a good rule of thumb, particularly sticking with the big game and people who are going to bet on that, if you choose to do that with a credit card that is not associated with your bank accounts. Never use a debit card.
Never.
Your safest always bet is your credit card. You have your best protection with that. And you do have protection on your debit card, but when they do get into your debit card and steal money from your account, like I just mentioned, they lock up your account until the investigation is done. It can take 6, 7, 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
All that money you had in that account is locked with it. So then, you know, people can't pay their bills, their mortgages, their phone bills, or anything like that, because all their money is tied up on that.
Yeah.
So, yes, your safest bet is the credit card. And any other unconventional payment methods, whether it be gift cards or, you know, using any type of other currency, then, you know, U.S. currency is usually the tip-off to rip-off on those scams.
We're talking with Steve Burness. Steve, sit tight. We're going to come right back and talk about some more scams you all need to be aware of here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. By the way, we should mention, if you want to get to the Better Business Bureau website, it's BBB.org.
Mm-hmm.
So BBB.org, and you will find information about a lot of the things that we're talking about tonight.
Yes, and we're talking with Steve Burness, who's the President and Chief Executive Officer of BBB of Chicago and Northern Illinois. And here we are in the new year. Not only do we have a Super Bowl, but we're into tax season. And Steve, I think I came across a statistic that in 2022, we taxpayers lost $5.7 billion to tax scams.
That's billion with a B.
That is a B with a billion. That's according to the IRS. And it's probably going to be more in 2023. And people don't think it really happens, and it does. And it's getting to a point where it's very concerning. because people are stealing your identity, and some of the stealing of the identity is that sometimes they try to ask for a tax refund using your social security number and filing taxes fraudulently and getting the refunds too before you even file. So, you know, tax fraud, tax identity theft is a growing crime. And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when your identity will be stolen. Sometime in your lifetime, it's getting to a point of the fastest growing white collar crime. And, and I've been a victim of it several times. And previous Attorney General Lisa Madigan, she was a victim of identity theft. Yeah. So you can't stop it. You just got to control it and do as much as you can to prevent it.
So how do you prevent it or control it?
Well, Steve, I remember last year about this time we got an email from a listener who was just beside herself because she had received an email from the IRS. And we said, no. Do not do anything with that because, Steve Burness, the IRS doesn't send you an email, do they?
No, they do not send you an email. They send you an official letter on that. They never send you an email threatening you or telling you got to pay taxes, or they need your information. They have your information.
Yes.
They don't need your social security number. So, Steve, the way they get it is usually by a phone call or a text or some other ways, means of a message to you saying it's the IRS, Social Security Administration, something is wrong. We need your information. We need your social security number. And you freely give it up. And unfortunately, they still don't have the proper fixes for caller ID, so they can manipulate the caller ID, so they can say they're calling from the IRS when they're not. And I think so many times consumers freely give up their information, and that's a lot of times what happens. And then sometimes you can't prevent it, like data breaches or hacks, and then sometimes there's phishing scams where you click on a link, and then they take control of your computer, or they go in your computer, and they're going to start going through it and going through your emails and finding a lot of information about yourself.
I feel my heart rate go up as we're having this conversation. I'm like, oh, I need to go home and look at my computer.
Steve, isn't one of the ways that you can minimize this, and it will cost you a little bit of money, but if you're doing your taxes, do it with a established company that will be doing your taxes.
A professional.
Well, that's the you want to find a professional who's known and trusted, and that because they have all your information. And how do they store your information too? That's always a concern. And then you got ghost tax preparers, which I mean by that are people who prepare taxes won't sign their names to it, and they say they could do it cheaper for you.
Oh.
That's not a good sign because they're breaking the law, first of all, and secondly, if there's something wrong with your tax, when the IRS will go after you, not them.
Yep.
And it's amazing the amount of tax fraud out there, and I think consumers, really have to pay attention to that. And if you have been a victim of identity theft in some way, there's what's called an IP PIN from the IRS where you can lock down your tax forms and a little bit stronger than a normal situation. It's a 6-digit code they give you. You have to prove who you are, and then they'll give you a special code. It's called IP PIN. It's on the IRS website. You can get more information about this. So if you've ever been a victim of identity theft, you might want to put that on there. It's free of charge, and it helps prevent identity theft through the U.S. taxes.
Isn't that really a very important step that you should take? And a lot of people don't want to do this, whether it is dealing with social media or taxes or anything. Always go for a little bit of additional verification. If you can get an additional, as you were talking about, an additional PIN,
two-factor
authentication. Yeah, it's going to take a little more time, but boy, does it make a difference in trying to secure your information as much as you can.
In fact, Steve, we had a conversation a couple weeks ago, and there were some people saying, yeah, but it takes more time if I go to do my banking on my phone, and then they have to send me a code.
But how much time is it going to take if your information is hacked, if your bank account is hacked? So take a little bit of time and hopefully prevent that.
Exactly. A little bit of time could save you a lot more time in the long run. Like you said, I've seen people take 5-6 years to clean up their credit once they've been a victim of identity theft. It can happen for 10 years because you never know who's got your information. So take preventative measures. That's a good way for trying to prevent it. You're not going to completely prevent it, but there's things also you can do is also freeze your credit reports. And I think consumers kind of hear that. They kind of scared and leery of that word freeze, but it actually makes it a little bit harder for somebody to open an account in your name. So you can get that through your credit report companies. It's all on their websites as well, explaining it. It's credit freeze, and you can unfreeze it pretty quickly. So if you are going to go buy a car, you can quickly unfreeze your account, go out and buy the car, and then come back home and refreeze your credit. It doesn't cost anything anymore. It used to cost money, and we suggest consumers do, the Better Business Bureau suggests you do this as well to prevent identity theft from happening to you and your family. And kids' identities are stolen too, so I don't think parents yes. realize that. You got to check your children's credit reports at annualcreditreport.com to see if they're if they've been victimized in any way, because sometimes it takes years for that to surface because they're not buying anything. So mm-hmm. if they steal their identity at 16 or 15 or 14, and they most likely won't buy something until 18, that's when they usually find out they have been a victim of identity theft.
Wow. And what they do is, because everybody has to have a social security number, is somebody gets that number mm-hmm. and that name, and then they can mm-hmm. they just run with it.
It is. You can run with it. And sometimes it's family members who steal other yes. family members' information, too. So you got to protect your social security number and your children's social security number as much as possible. Treat it like gold. Don't give it up to anybody unless there's a definitive business reason for it. Mm-hmm. And most times you can work around it. If you take more time necessary to prevent this from happening to you.
Well, I've got to say that I know of at least three times I've had a kind of tense conversation with someone at a doctor's office, because when they gave me paper to fill out, I did not put my social security number down. Maybe I would put down XXX and give it back to them, and they would call me back to the desk and they say, what do you need it for? And literally could not tell me what they needed it for.
Yeah.
Could not tell me. And I said, so do you think I should give it to you? And so we would go back and forth. And finally they said, well, forget about it. They don't need that information in the doctor's office on a piece of paper that could end up in a garbage can they put it in the computer.
Speaking of that, Steve, I'm segueing a little bit, and we may have told you about this before, but years ago, Johnny and I were being audited by the state of Florida because since we own a house down there, and we own some property, they were convinced that since we were not full-time residents, we were renting the place out. We had never, ever, ever rented it out.
So they requested, get a load of this, Steve, they requested 5 years of our tax returns. Send us 5 years. And so I called and actually got to a human being, and I said, and what will you do with those 5 years of tax returns when you're done? And she said, well, once we get them in the system and we analyze it and we look at your case, we just toss it. And I got this sick feeling they'd go into a dumpster somewhere, right?
So you hope not.
Yeah, but she couldn't tell me they didn't go into a dumpster. So we said, nope, we'll be seeing you face to face. And this was a classic case of we were being called guilty and we had to prove our innocence. We were guilty, but we had to prove that we were not renting our property and we owed taxes.
But we went down, we took all the information with us, we went down and we had a face-to-face meeting with them. And one of the frustrating things was at the end of, we were talking to them for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, they said, well, okay, will you sign a statement saying that you've never rented? We said, yes, we told you we would do that 6 months ago.
So we signed and they let us out. Because, and it took so long because they just let us sit there and wait while they were, quote, investigating us.
Sure.
Hey, Steve, we've got a news break. Can you stay with us for just a few minutes on the other side? All right, because we want to come back because Steve said, this is like white-collar crime running rampant. We're going to talk about some of the other scams. Medicare, Medicaid in particular, is one that popped up last year and got to be kind of a biggie. So stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, taking care of business, talking with a man who is the president and chief executive officer of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois, Steve Burness. And want to remind you again, if you want to check out their website, it's bbb.org.
And Steve, I want to try to cover a little bit more ground here, because you said that this whole business of scamming is like the biggest white-collar crime we've got going on. Did I get you right there?
There's identity theft.
Identity theft, yes. Right. And I'm looking at your scams from last year, from 2023, and we've touched on some of them, like online purchases and phishing scams. And new one, I understand, that popped up on the top 10 last year was healthcare, Medicare and Medicaid. And what kind of scams occur under that umbrella?
A lot of times what we're hearing from consumers is that they get to receive these calls from Medicare that they can help you, or Medicaid, but we need your Social Security number. And unfortunately, they think it's them calling them, and it's not. So you got to be very careful of the imposters. And then you got a lot of fake tests, and there was a lot of fake COVID testing where consumers would get these bills saying, I never got all these COVID testing. So there's a lot of fake Medicare claims by organizations and you know,
really
illegal. Yeah, so it's just nonstop, and it seemed to hit Medicare pretty hard last year because it put us on the top 10 list for the first time in 2023.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of it's imposter scams where people are saying they can help you, they're calling for Medicare, but they need your Social Security number. And so that's just like gold to them, that Social Security number, and then you give them all your birth date and you give them everything else. And before you know it, you're a victim of identity theft.
Hmm. And isn't one of the key things here that in most cases, whether it is Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, they're probably not going to be calling you. So if you get a call, I would say ignore it, and then you call on your own if you have a doctor, if you have a Medicare number or something like that. You should initiate the calls or the online communication with a website, with a phone number that you already have established.
Like call your bank. If you get an email from your, quote, bank, and you think, well, that's weird. They've never emailed me before. Yeah, if you get that weird feeling. But I remember last year, Steve Burness, I called you when I got the phone call from the utility company, and they said they were going to turn off our electricity. And I called you, and I said, why would they be calling me? And on my caller ID, it said and the caller ID did show that it was, in fact, the company.
Because just like they can fake websites, they can fake
their
caller IDs.
They haven't fixed that one yet. They're working on it, they said.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Hopefully they'll get in. But that's a good point, Steve and Johnny, is that anybody calling you and saying you have to do something quickly within 30 minutes, that's usually the tip-off to the rip-off. Don't answer those calls. Let it go to voicemail. Don't answer those texts. If you think it's your bank, if you think it's your mortgage company, just call them directly or go directly to their website. And that's how that person just lost $50,000 on PayPal. They thought he was dealing with PayPal. It was just on a call, and he never called PayPal or checked his own account. He was trusting that person in their line, and those are scammers, and they do this all day long. They know how to scam you out of your money. So make sure, don't answer your phone. Let it go to voicemail, and then do the homework and research on that company, and then call the company itself.
And one of the key things is in 90% of these things, they're trying to put you in as much of a stressful situation so you think you have to react quickly. Do not react quickly.
Don't
be stressed.
Or don't call Steve Burness and say, help me, I don't know what's going on. They're going to turn off our power.
Exactly. Yeah, 30-minute rules is the primal of importance. If someone wants to do something in 30 minutes, that's usually their tip-off to the rip-off. And the only thing you should do in 30 minutes is buy a pizza, and that's it.
Well, can I take you back to the Medicare thing? Because I'm kind of baffled by this. Would one find out that their Medicare account had been erroneously or falsely billed for, say, a COVID test when you get a statement from Medicare? Is that how you would find that out?
Yeah, usually it's your Medicare account. You see that they paid off the, COVID. I think one person had 19 charges for COVID testing.
Wow.
And that's how you usually find out that you've been a victim of identity theft. They may be somebody filing claims on your behalf, too. You just don't know who's doing it. It's the trouble because they're not here. They're offshore. They could be anywhere.
Yeah.
And they hide behind everything. So just because they use it doesn't mean you're ever going to find these people. And the only way to put scams out of business is not to give them your business. There's no other way that you're going to get your money back from these scammers. Is you can't give them your business and tell your parents, your grandparents, to do the research ahead of time. And if you see a scam, we need the public to report it to the Better Business Bureau because we have that scam tracker, and it just helps us tremendously and helps all the governmental agencies because they're all connected to the database, and we keep track of the scams all across North America. And it's just amazing. If people just go there first, and see it, and they can report it. If you haven't fallen for it, which we hope you don't, just still let us know, because that's how we get our warnings out to the public, and that's how we let the government officials know they can put these people out of business or put them in jail where they belong, but they don't catch them. You know, that's so you can't do business with them, because otherwise you just lose your money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before we let you go, a couple of people wanted to know, and this comes up every time we have you on the show, what is your opinion? What's the BBB's opinion of LifeLock? Is that something we should be investing in?
Well, something, it's like an insurance policy, whether you need it or not. I suggest consumers to look around at all those different sites. LifeLock is the one where the CEO was actually, his identity theft was stolen 13 times after he published his Social Security number on the advertisements, and he guaranteed his service would stop identity theft. A lot of times your insurance policies do cover identity theft, and everyone's different, so I'm asking you please to call your insurance agent and see if they have this same type of service. There's a lot of companies out there. Do your homework on it and do the research on them, but talk to somebody that you know and trust to get some information. But your insurance company may have a lot of information for you as well.
Well, that's a new thought. I'm looking at Steve like, really? We better call on Monday to find out about that. And that's why we have you on the show, and we thank you so much for staying up late and for taking your time. And again, how do you want people to get a hold of you if they want to report what they think is a scam?
Well, they go to our website, bbb.org, and then we have Scam Tracker on there if they see a scam. But if also you want to find a good business, there's a lot of good businesses out there. Go to our website, you can find a business that you can trust, and if you just look for the BBB seal, which is a sign of a better business.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Steve. Have a great week.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye
now.